We're here at this last article of the New Hampshire Confession of Faith. We've got some of these. Is there anybody that would like one? Article 18, it's dated 9/16/15. If it's got a date by it, you've got the current version. Is there anybody that would need a copy? Anybody need one? Other than Joseph? Joseph wants one. All right. Joseph's got half a ream of them back there. Anybody else need one? Anybody else? Hold up your hand high. You need one? Joseph, you're going to have to get yours after services, all right? Or, tell you what, when you can start reading, Granddad will give you one, all right? He says, okay. All right, we're here at this last article. Article 18 of the New Hampshire Confession of Faith of the world to come. And as we take a look at this, I'm going to just generally present what we hold to and believe here at Olmsted Baptist Church. And so I think some would argue that maybe that this is this article is a little too general, maybe a little too focused on the day of the Lord and scriptures that are used and maybe what's stated by the article directly. Understand what we believe and stand for here at Olmsted Baptist Church and believe that the scripture bears out. Just kind of give a general timeline. We believe that there's going to be, towards the end, there well will be tribulation that will come upon the people of God. Okay? It well could be that this world system may collapse, and we would see a collapse of that. It makes it ripe for the man of sin to come in. Then the rapture of the saints is going to take place. And then there's going to be the great tribulation, when the Lord begins to judge the earth, which he will not judge his people who are saved with them, but he will begin to judge the earth and the nations of the earth that remain. The man of sin will come to power. The Lord also not only dealing with the nations and the people that remain upon the earth, he's going to deal with his nation of Israel to bring them back and save them. He's going to, again, before the great tribulation, he's going to rapture his saints out. The great tribulation will take place, and then he will come back to set his feet on the Mount of Olives, redeem his nation. In a day, in a moment, I believe, they'll see him whom they have pierced. He will fight the battle of Armageddon and maybe another battle that is there, a battle to the north, maybe a battle to the southeast. I think that we can see that in the scriptures there around Israel. And then he will set up his kingdom to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Satan will be bound during that time. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and sets his feet on the Mount of Olives and to fight against those nations that have gathered against Israel, because that's what's going to happen, it's going to look like Jerusalem's going to fall. And then the Lord will appear in a moment and deliver them, deliver Jerusalem, his city, and fight against those that have gathered from all the quarters of the earth against them, and he will deliver his nation. He will fight against them. He will slay them. He'll set up his 1,000-year reign, and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years while Satan is bound. When he comes back, those saints that were raptured out with the Lord will come back, okay? And we will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Well, I believe indeed we'll have assignments from our Lord, different things to do. What will I do, Brother Jim? I don't know, but whatever the Lord gives you to do, you'll be able to do it, and you'll be able to do it perfectly, and you'll be happy to do it. Okay? It'll be a glorious time when our Lord reigns then. We'll have our new bodies. will be like the angels, will have that ability like the angels, and have a body like Christ. We'll be able to look upon our Lord and be with our Lord. And then after that 1,000 years, Satan's going to be loosed for a short time. And all those billions of people that have come to live during that time, a blessed time of the rule of Christ on this earth, this very earth, for 1,000 years, there'll be folks living in that day that will be hundreds of years old because of the blessing of the Lord. And they will be gathered together by Satan, okay, during that millennial reign. I believe the scripture bears out that the time for salvation is past. Okay, it is past. And they will be gathered together by Satan when he's loosed to come again against the Lord and the Lord's people, the Lord's city. And then the Lord will destroy them in an instant. And then everything of this world and this world and this heaven, this earth, will be burned up. That's the way I see it. After that, the great white throne judgment will take place, the judgment of the damned, those that have rejected Christ, those that have rejected the gospel. All will be judged out of the books that the Lord has there and the book of life, and will be cast into the lake of fire. And then our Lord will have a new heaven and a new earth. And Brother Mark's going to touch on that in his studies about a heaven, a new heaven, and new earth. And there'll be some things about that. There'll be a new Jerusalem, and we'll dwell there with our Lord eternally. The damned will be in the lake of fire forever, and the saved, the Lord's, will be with him forever. And that is forever. After 100 million years, it's still forever. Amen? And so it will continue on. And so that's just a general sketch of what it is that we hold to. And understand that our brethren then, and the brother that undertook to write this New Hampshire Confession of Faith, understand that he didn't see Israel as a nation. He didn't see, he maybe knew of the Muslims and some of the terrible things that Islam did in his day and his century. He well could have known that. Some of the statesmen of our country early on had statements to say about the Muslims and Islam and the terrible way that they ruled and how they wielded the power that they had in the regions where they had power. But he didn't see Israel as a nation. It was just Palestine. He knew the Jews were the Jews, but he didn't see her come back. And we have. He hasn't seen he didn't see the technology that we see today and how some things are written in the scripture, how maybe now we can understand how something like that could come about where it was really impossible in that day. So as we look at this, we don't need to be so much critical as we do thankful that the Lord, if the Lord has given us any understanding about how things apply and how things seem to be, it's a blessing of the Lord upon us. And we don't need to be down on our brethren because they, as we do, just dealt with things as they had and as they see. I've talked in recent time about end time events and the last days, the coming of the Lord and those things. If the time of the coming of our Lord is in our generation, in our time, the time that we live, all things being equal, a normal time of life, and we have that, and we see the return of our Lord, there may be other things in the scriptures that we will understand because we'll be here to see the things and how they unwind and how they come about and are manifested, okay? Just as Israel coming to a nation here in the middle of the last century. So let's take a look at this article and see, and I'll be making comment about application of these scriptures as we go along. We believe that the end of the world is approaching, that the last day, that at the last day, Christ will descend from heaven and raise the dead from the grave to final retribution, that a solemn separation will then take place, that the wicked will be a judge to endless punishment and the righteous to endless joy, and that this judgment will fix forever the final state of men in heaven or hell on principles of righteousness. Okay? So let's undertake this article. We believe that the end of the world is approaching. Indeed, it is. It is. We know that it is. And we see the unraveling of man's way even in our day. It's an interesting thing. The New World was a place, almost the last place that men could seek to come to worship freely. And now the world has run out of such a place. There's those maybe that say that there is a great revival that's taking place in the Philippines. And I trust that is the case. But there's no place like the last place of the North America and the Americas, and namely North America, that was had in the last 400 years, where folks came to be able, and our nation was founded, and to seek religious freedom. There's nowhere to go. Everywhere, every government, for the most part, undertakes. There's maybe one government in Africa that undertakes to and makes a claim of serving and worshiping Jehovah God, and they get a lot of criticism. Their leader gets a lot of criticism. And just by that very fact, a nation that would take up, a leader, a president that would take up to hold in reverence the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the way of God is ridiculed by the world. And so it's a sign of our times. And so indeed, we should spread the gospel, and we should support missionaries, and we need to be missionary in our region, in our Jerusalem, in our Judea and Samaria and so on. We are to be doing that till the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. But there's no new place hardly to go. Okay? And I find that an interesting point. And so we do believe in that respect that the end, it is a showing and a sign that the end is approaching. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. He says, verse 1, we should not live the rest of our time in the lust of the flesh, the pastime of our life, again, putting those things behind us. Okay, verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye, children of God, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Okay, be sober. Need to have an understanding and a right outlook of how things really are. None of us want to be doom and gloom and that. And we have great hope in our Lord and his return. We look forward to that. We grieve over our nation and her departing away from the principle and the word of God. We do. But in these things, know that our redemption draweth nigh. And so we, by the scriptures and what the scriptures tell us, we need to serve and worship our Lord and serve our Lord until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, and do so like we're going to be buried, like those buried before us, okay? And we're going to live till our Lord gives us life and then be buried, but then know that our Lord could come tonight, okay? And so we need to do and that and know and be sober. The end of all things is at hand. Brother Peter wrote that when he was, of course, still alive and knowing that his life was going to be taken from him. The end has been at hand for 2,000 years. Ever since Jesus ascended into heaven, there's been expectation of Jesus coming back. All right? And so, and especially as Brother Paul writes unto the church at Thessalonica, which I'm sure that we will review. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 29 is our target verse. We believe that the end of the world is approaching. This whole earth is wearing out. 1 Corinthians 7, verse number 29, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, And they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world not as abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. When I was very young, I read this passage, and I wasn't saved then, and I was very disturbed about it. I wanted a wife, and I wanted to have a family. And I misunderstood the application and the understanding of this verse. The Apostle Paul was called by the Lord to be a minister unto the Gentiles and to be a minister to all that he would come in contact with. And experienced, as we even talked about Sunday afternoon, the scripture bears out, he even experienced much tribulation and much trial and much adversity because of his calling and his work. We now live in a blessed and yet still free time. And I tell you, young people, if the Lord leads you and brings one along to you that he would be pleased for you to marry, and you're led of the Lord to marry, you need to marry, okay? It's good to marry. But if tribulation would come upon us, if tight and difficult circumstances would come upon us, it may well require that it might not be a time to marry and to follow in those things. Again, once again, it's leadership of the Lord. What would the Lord have? He talks to this church and he talks about it to this church about marriage and about marriage being a good thing, and a right thing, a thing ordained by God. And so, but it may be, there might be circumstances that it might not be right. And the pressure being on and, the cause of Christ, there being persecution and there being affliction because of that, that it may not be, but you'd have to follow what the leadership of the Lord is in it, okay? And so he says, verse 28, but if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. It will pass away. And there we have freedom, we have blessing now, but there could come a time that there would be great pressure, and that the normal things of life, even those things of life like marriage and relationships, would be under great pressure, and it wouldn't be appropriate to undertake having a family. But you have to get that from the Lord. You can't come to me and ask me. I'll tell you what I think. But it's good for men and women, and especially those who are the Lord's, for them to marry in the Lord and to seek the Lord's help and blessing and directive about that. Maybe the Lord would give singleness to some, because the Lord can do that. He has done that. And so you have to seek the Lord's face. But in the present distress, his admonition to those at Corinth, he wasn't saying for men to leave their wives, okay? He wasn't saying for them to just undo their families, but that the pressure and the focus would be upon the Lord. An example. Pastor so-and-so, and this is difficult, okay? But Pastor so-and-so, if you don't quit preaching Jesus Christ, we're going to take your children away from you. Pastor so-and-so, if you don't quit preaching this Jesus Christ of this Bible that you call the Word of God, we're going to take your wife away from you. May the Lord help us to do what he would be pleased with us to do, and that's to be true to him and preach on. We understand in Russia, by those that have been there firsthand, and visited folks that lived in Russia, saints that lived in Russia. This comes from a missionary that spent years coming in and out of Russia, going behind the Iron Curtain. They would prepare their children to be taken by the state because the threat was always on them. If you don't quit preaching this, we're going to take your children away from you. And one brother and his wife over there, and they would teach their children and the word of God, and they would teach their children the songs of the Lord and the word of the Lord, that one day they came and they threatened that they would take their young children, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 years old, somewhere in that range, that they would take their children away from them. The brother keeps on preaching, keeps on teaching, keeps on printing literature, and they come and they take their two oldest boys, take them to the state orphanage. In a matter of weeks, they bring their children back. Why do they bring their children back? Because the little boys are teaching and preaching the other little children in the orphanage about Jesus Christ. Said, "Your children are ruined. We can't do anything with them. You might as well have them." We've never been faced with anything like that, have we? But that's told for the truth. And so may the Lord help us. And so, and that's what the brother, that's what this passage is here, is talking in context of the situation at the church at Corinth. Follow the leadership of the Lord. Verse 31, "And they that use this world, not as abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away." That's the point for the article. But I want to make mention about the other. Were you to use this world, but not abuse the things of this world that we sin against our Lord, and understand it's going to pass away. Don't hang on to it too tight. It's going to pass away. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Here talking about Jesus Christ, and here speaking about our Lord, and that it wasn't an angel that the Lord, that the Father, if you will, called to be the Savior, but the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 10, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning," Hebrews 1:10, "in the beginning hath laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands." Verse 11, "And they shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." Okay? So this old world is wearing down. Our sun is wearing down. This universe is wearing down. It is. The Lord made it, and because of sin, it's been defiled, and it is wearing out. And I think this makes it clear about how everything that we know presently in this earth and the universe and such as that, our Lord says, the scripture says, they shall perish. It's going to be, some brethren believe that the earth is going to be renovated, that the skin of it is going to be burned up. Well, I'm of the opinion, and along with Brother Peter tells us in his epistles, that it's going to be dissolved. It's going to go away, and there'll be new that the Lord will prepare. But it is going to perish. It is going to come to an end. It's going to wax old like a garment, and the Lord's going to fold it up. Matthew chapter 24, here the Lord speaking about end time events, namely to the Jews, but there are things that we can glean from this. In Matthew chapter 24, verse number 35 is our target verse. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." That's the kind of Savior and Lord that sinners need, is one that's going to stand forever. Everything, you think about the vastness. Think about just the small distances that you and I have traveled, okay? Even though maybe you've gone all the way across this country. Maybe you've been able to travel to the east and travel to California or to the west coast. Maybe you've gone abroad. Some of our missionaries are on the other side of the world. They've traveled this vast globe. It's not gonna last. It's going to be destroyed. Well, a brother recently said, don't worry about global warming. There is one global warming that's going to take place, and it's a global melting, actually, by the Lord. But otherwise, you don't have to worry about it. What he said is so. It's true. Don't have to worry about it. The Lord will take care of that. The end of this world is approaching. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verse number 17. Let's back up to verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Don't love the world. Don't love the things that are in the world. Love the Lord. Love the brethren. Love your Savior. Don't love the world. Hold, as we read there in 1 Corinthians, use the thing of this world right, but don't abuse them. Okay? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's the way the world operates. Verse 17 is our target verse. The world passeth away, and the lust, the desire thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Okay, well, how does the Lord think about things? That's what we should think. And then in Matthew 28, Matthew chapter 28, here at the tail end, the last part of the Great Commission, let's read it all. Jesus came, verse 18, spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, church, and teach all nations, number one, baptizing them, number two, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them, number three, to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world, the end of the age, the end of this time. It's going to come a time that the Lord will wrap it up. Matthew chapter 13, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 39. Here the Lord talking about the different kinds of ground. He's speaking parables. And let's back up to verse number 36 to get the thought. And Jesus sent the multitude away, went into the house. Disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us a parable of the tares of the field. Okay, so there's tares sowed among wheat. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, those who are saved. But the tares are the children of the wicked one, those who are unsaved. Okay? Verse 39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. Okay, this is an aspect of the kingdom. Aspects of the kingdom tell about different aspects, different facets of the operation of the kingdom of God and within the kingdom of God, but don't tell everything about it, okay? But tell one aspect of it. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world. So there's going to be an end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, hear that. Either here and not saved, tares are burned. Tares are the children of the devil. Brother Jim, that's awful hard. Don't call my child a child of the devil. Well, that's from our vantage point, and we don't know who the Lord is going to save or not. You know, the Lord, while there's life and there's the Lord, there's hope and salvation. And we declare unto you, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to the Lord. Be saved. Be saved. He's the Savior. But when it comes time to reap, it's going to be done. And the Lord tells plainly here who is whose. And therefore the tares are the gathered and burned in the fire, verse 40, as it shall be in the end of this world. Okay? It's going to be a thing that's going to happen in the end. And then 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, where Brother Peter tells us about the pattern of judgment of the Lord, the pattern of judgment of our Lord, the pattern of judgment and the promise of the Lord's coming. Let's read here in 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's back up to verse number 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. Pay attention to the word of God. It's telling us something. Our Lord's word tells us something. And of the commandment of us, the apostles, so what the apostles write and preached, and from the standpoint of who this epistle was first written to, they had been in the audience of the teaching and preaching of the apostles, no doubt. And he says, remember that. Be mindful. Consider it. Think about it. The apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, verse 3, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, their own desires, the way that they want, saying, where is the promise of his coming? You say Jesus is coming back? Where is it? Where is it? We've never been greater, never accomplished more, never had more liberty, never had more independence, never had more freedom, never had more ability than we have now. Where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. At least these here believed in a creation. Our day, they don't even believe in a creation. They are all full of self and would rather be the children of an accident than in that sense being, as a scripture, as the Apostle Paul preaches, being the children of God by him giving us life and creating us. We are his creation. They'd rather be the creation of chance and a mistake and an error rather than of God. Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of. They want to not know about it. They want to not know, putting God from their hearts and their minds. For this they are willingly or ignorant of, but by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, and whereby the world that then was. So God created it, and he created the earth and all that there is by the word of his power. He created the something that you and I can see, the invisible that we cannot see. He created it by the word of his mouth. And then you know what? He did a special thing with you and me. He created our father Adam from the dust of the earth. And he formed that dust. He didn't speak our daddy Adam and us into existence. He did everything else. But he formed us in Adam from the dust of the earth. He made woman from a rib from the side of man, from Adam. He opened him up, took out the rib, and closed it back up. Amen? Isn't that what it says? He had some special personal attention to our creation in Adam. And then you know what? He took Adam after he formed him from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into his nostrils, and we became living souls, different than any other creature, any other creation that has been created. Our Lord bestowed that blessing, that specialness, if you will, that glory and that honor upon us. He created us in his image, and he created us in his likeness. Amen? And so, first, Peter says, he has created this. He has created this. The scoffers say, where's the promise of his coming? You're saying that he's coming. He's been coming for all these years. Where's the promise of his coming? He said, well, just like the Lord spoke it into existence and brought us to life, that same world, verse 6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, he destroyed that world. And he destroyed every air-breathing creature that lived therein, man included, except for the eight that were saved. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, okay, so then since the flood and the blessing of the renewing of the earth and the animals that were preserved, and Adam or Noah and his wife and children and sons and their wives replenished the earth, and that's who we descend from now. And so here we are, which are now, by the same word that the Lord spoke everything into existence, and the same word that he uttered for everything to be destroyed by flood, by the same word that final day, that judgment of the Lord, it's kept in store, his trembling, winking eye, his long suffering is holding it back, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. As God spoke it into existence, brought us to life in Adam, destroyed by the word of his power with the flood, and then renewed everything, and it is as we see it here now, by that same power, the Lord's going to wrap it all up one day. He's reserved it unto fire. No more water. Next time's fire. Judgment. Against the day of judgment and perdition, wickedness, depravity, sinfulness of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Don't take that and apply that some strange, obtuse way to the creation, where the Lord and each day took 1,000 years. You know, that was bandied about in times gone by, that the Lord took 6,000 years just to create things, and that's how they tried to squeeze evolution into things. What this is saying, understand it in the context, what's going on? Men think that this promise of the Lord coming back and judging men and destroying this earth, that it's kind of a long time getting here, had never happened. What they're saying is, seems like to us by now, if it was going to happen, it would happen. The thing is God's not on anybody's timetable. He's on his own timetable. Because with the Lord, when he saw the wickedness of men, that it was exceeding great, and the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually, he stepped in and he did something when he got ready. And you know what? That's the way he's going to do it when he judges by fire too. When he's ready, he'll do it. Because see, a day with you and me, well, you know, you take 365 and multiply it times 80, in the big scheme of things, that's not really a whole lot of days. But one of those days, a lifetime of those days, doesn't bother our Lord. 1,000 years, doesn't bother our Lord. Day, doesn't bother our Lord. He's on his time frame. He's not anxious about a thing, as you and I get anxious about things, and as men do. But beloved, don't be ignorant. Know this, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. He's on his own time frame. He'll not be pushed and goaded into anything by any man. He's going to do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it. So when the proud and the haughty and the boastful and the naysayers and the fools stand up and say, where's the promise of his coming? Everything's been ticking along from great granddaddy's day until now. Seems like what you're preaching, Peter, is just a bunch of foolishness. No, the one that says such is a fool. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, because see, he's promised he's going to destroy this earth. As tell him in the jail often. There's been enough fulfilled in the scripture that was prophesied by the Lord in the scripture and then fulfilled by the Lord that the scripture bears out and tells us. And so, well, that's not good reasoning and good testing and all that. Well, see, we're not talking about man's doings. We're talking about God. And God's prophesied enough over the millennia and prophesied and brought to pass enough to where men ought to know that everything that hadn't been brought to pass is going to be brought to pass. There's been enough fulfilled. Spot on. Spot on. That the Lord's promises will be fulfilled. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any of his children should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's waiting. He's long-suffering against the wickedness of men. He's got his plan and his purpose that he's fulfilling. And when he's ready, he'll send the judgment. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Remember here, what wasn't it last year, the year before, that fella, wasn't there a fella down in South America that said it was going to be it? Somebody's predicting a day like that, you can be guaranteed it won't be the day the Lord will come back, you know? That's the way I believe that. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, stealthy. Stealthy, and a day unexpected, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Pass away, I think, is going to mean pass away, don't you? And the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. We got all these elements. What are we up to element-wise? 120-some? We ask our resident chemist that. And so I think it's 120-some, not 130. I don't think there's 130 yet, but with all the atomic work, they keep coming up with more. But whatever the highest melting temperature is of any of those elements, the heat's going to be higher than that. Because not only will they melt, but they will be dissolved. They will be evaporated. They will be gone. They will be destroyed. With a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. I see earth burned up, don't you? Not just the skin getting rehabbed. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Brother and sister, you that are here and not saved, you let the Lord, you have the Lord, as he's promised, evaporate and burn up everything that you and I know physically. Where does that leave you standing? Where does that leave me standing? Well, we who are saved, we're secure in the Lord, aren't we? It leaves us standing with him. See that? But those that are without Christ, this world is all they know. This world is all that they know. This world is all they have. And to think of this world being destroyed, where does that leave them? Where does that leave you? Oh, you need the Lord as Savior. When the Lord does these things, we will be solid and secure in him. Therein shall be burned up. Seeing then, children of God, that all these things shall be dissolved, what's that say to us? What manner of persons we ought to be in all holy conversation, what we think, say, and do, and godliness. Because see, when the earth is burned up, it's us and the Lord. It's you and the Lord. And the Lord is most holy. And can you? Is it a good thought to be with God? Is it a good thought to be near with God? Or is that kind of a drag? Is that kind of a downer? I tell you what, it's a wonderful thing to think to be with God. Because, not because of self, but because of Christ. Amen? Seeing that all these are going to be dissolved, all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening into the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Won't it be a wonder to be there with our Lord and look on to these things? It will be. It will be. And that's the promise of the Lord to his children. That's the reason the brother's writing of this. Nevertheless, we, verse number 13, nevertheless, we, again, according to his promise, there's promises in general that the Lord's going to take care of and perform universe wide. Okay. And this thing of this judgment and this dissolving is going to be. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise to us, look for a new heavens. There you go, Brother Mark. And a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We look for that, don't we? We look to living with our Lord eternally. We believe the end of the world is approaching. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for the end of this world?